this Friday, I just felt I want to share this with you. And by the way, thank you for joining me today, and thank you with all my heart. I mean this. Thank you for being my wonderful partner. You're the best. I was reading my Bible a few days ago. I'm now reading 2 Samuel. I was reading 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I was reading the story of King David when he came to Ziklag and discovered the Amalekites had come in and burnt the city and took his family hostage and took the families of all his men hostages. And they took everything else with them. And David did not know what to do. So the people talked about stoning him because of their families. And I love what the Bible says. He immediately looked to the Lord. He had a day of great loss. We've all experienced losses in life. We've experienced financial loss, physical loss with our health, emotional loss, maybe some other losses in life. But the God we serve is an amazing God. The God we serve is a God who restores. The Bible says later that David recovered all. And it hit me, just hit me. And I had to look at the chapter one more time. And really a cry came out of my heart that God would do something for me spiritually. Because I believe that God wants us in a higher place than we are in. When I was young, when I began in the ministry, oh, the fellowship, oh, the beauty, oh, the presence of the Lord. I cannot describe to you the beauty of those days in my life. Then I got married, ministry began, we began the church, we began the crusades. That fellowship continued with the Lord. In a beautiful way, I must say. But it cannot compare to the early days of my life. And my cry has been, Lord, before I am done, will you please allow me to know days greater than I've known when I was young? Greater. You know, I started strong. I started in an amazing way, miraculous way, frankly. If you've read Good Morning, Holy Spirit, you know the story. I want to finish greater than what I started with. I want to finish in a closer place, higher place in the Lord. I want to see that smile on His face more than anything else in life. A friend of mine, Kent Maddox, one day asked me, he said, what do you want the Lord to give you when you get to heaven? I said, I just want one thing, the smile. When I was a little boy, I saw this smile on the Lord's face in that vision when I was only 11 in Jaffa, Israel. I said, as long as that smile is there, I'm happy. That's my reward. You know, David said, you are my reward, Lord. And when I read those words, he recovered all. Something in me jumped. Something in me leaped with joy. And I said, Lord, that's what I want. I want to recover everything that I had and even go greater. That is my pursuit. That is my vision in life. You have one too. So some of us are crying for recovery for different things. Now there are keys, amazing keys, in this chapter for recovery. You know, it says that David, the first thing he did is he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He praised the Lord even in his distress. When the people were talking about killing him, he praised the Lord. Praise has such power. If you want to see a recovery in your life, I promise you, praise is up top. Because praise brings the Lord on the scene. Praise gives you access into the throne room. Praise causes God to fight the battle for you in your life, and so much more. Praise is God's address, you know. He dwells in praise, huh? And he praised the Lord while people were saying, let's kill him. Imagine how difficult that must have been for him to praise the Lord, and he could see the tension, he could feel the tension, he could hear what they're saying about him. Praise really becomes a sacrifice at such times. I want you to begin praising the Lord for recovery. I'm serious with you. On this Friday, this weekend, the next few days, just begin praising the Lord that you're going to recover everything, whatever it is. The second thing that he did in verse 7, he said to Abiathar, the high priest, he said, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. Why would he want the ephod? He wanted someone to really pray with him, to really agree with him. Because, you know, the high priest stood as God's representative. And the ephod was the symbol, really, of prayer on the priesthood, in the life of the priest. So he said, bring the ephod. Let's pray. Let's agree together. There's power in agreement. Great power in agreement. Think about the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane, where he looked for his disciples. He said, could you not tarry with me an hour? If the Son of God needed strength in Gethsemane that only comes with agreement, how much more do we? Agreement brought the Holy Spirit on the scene on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one accord. That's agreement. Agreement brought signs and wonders. In the book of Acts, it says they, Peter and John, went up to the temple. They said, they spoke, they ministered to that man at the gate. Beautiful. The part of an agreement, we see it over and over and over again in the Bible. And it's, you know, it began with, remember, with Moses when the war was raging against Amalek. And his hands had to be held up. Agreement. Now it says, and David inquired of the Lord, he said, shall I pursue? And the Lord said, yes. Shall I overtake them? He said, yes. And I love these words, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. That's a step of faith. Pursue means faith. You and I can't please the Lord. We cannot see a recovery unless we're living a life of faith. A life of praise, a life of prayer, a life of faith. And here we see him pursuing the enemy. And so it says, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, came to the brook Besor. 200 stayed behind with their possessions. 400 went with him. He finds an Egyptian in the field. He gives them food and drink. The men have not eaten in a few days. And he says, you know where the Amalekites are? Yes, but don't kill me and I'll show you. So, now, he brings them to the company. And it says, when he saw, it says they were spread abroad and over all the earth, eating, drinking, dancing, because of the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, out of the land of Judah. What did he do? He attacked them. He took his authority. It says, David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening the next day. So not only did he pursue, he also took authority. You and I cannot really see recovery in our life unless we take the authority God gave us. We speak it in prayer. We take the authority God gave us. We step into the office that belongs to us. You know, Satan, the enemy, is not afraid of you. He's afraid of your office. May I say it again? He really is not afraid of you or me. He's afraid of the office we hold as Christians, as believers. We have an office. We all have an office. We are an anointed people. The Bible says so. So the devil isn't afraid of, you know, somebody. He's just afraid of the Christian who's walking in his office. The word Christian means anointed one. And when God anoints you, he gives you incredible authority over the enemy. I prayed for my mom and my dad 3 years to be saved. Nothing happened. One day I took my authority and I said, I've had enough. And I commanded the devil to let them go. But this was after I was doing all that I'm talking about. Okay? I was living a life of praise. I was living a life of prayer. I was living a life of faith. And then I knew, you know, I had the right to take my authority over the enemy. My mom and my dad got saved the next day. I will never forget as long as I live that day when I took my authority. And the Lord said to me, he said, go burn the book in the hubbly bubbly bottle in the fireplace. And I was upstairs praying and I went downstairs when we lived in Toronto. And I didn't even see that little book till the Lord said, go burn it. And my dad had put a little red book inside what is called a hubbly bubbly bottle where they smoke, you know, with it. They put like water in it and tobacco on top and all that. It was an empty bottle that my own dad had not used, that God knew was there, and God knew the book was in it. And I saw the little bottle. It was not that big. It was about this much, this big. And there was this little book inside of it. And I broke the bottle. I took that book and I burned it in the fireplace. It would not burn. The book just would not burn. I didn't know what the book was, but it was something to do with some devils and something demonic. I didn't even open it. I didn't care to. And when I threw it in that fireplace, it just wouldn't burn the fireplace. I said, in Jesus' name, and I took authority, and screams came out of that book. And it began to burn. Something broke that day in our home. My mom and my dad the next day came to a little Pentecostal church I was preaching at in Toronto, Canada, on Lakeshore, and got saved. It was one of the most glorious things I ever saw happen in our family. But I took my authority. It's time you know who you are. And it's time you take your authority. It says in David, verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. Wow. Had carried away. And rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them. Neither small or great. Neither sons or daughters. Neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. And when I read those words a few days ago, about 3 days ago, David recovered all. Something leaped in me. I said, Lord, it's time for me. I'm telling you, I feel faith today for you. I really do. I'm not just saying it. I'm not taping this today just to waste your time. I'm telling you, I feel faith for you. It's leaping in my soul right now while I'm talking to you. It says, David took all the flocks, all the herds, which they drave. And now he not only recovered everything, he even took what they had taken from the Philistines. and people that they had gone there and spoiled. David came to the 200 men, gave them of the spoil, but something happened later that I think is a real key for recovery that people seem to not pay attention to. All right, watch what it says here. It says that David sent of the spoil. It says, verse 26, and when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. He sent people in Bethel, a part of the spoil, in Ramoth, in Yatir, in Aroer, in other parts of the Holy Land. Why? Because he understood something. He'd been gone for 2 years. He was in the land of the Philistines for 2 years. Right after he sent of the spoil to the elders of Judah, in verse 26, they got in touch with him. They said, come back home. He came to Hebron. They anointed him king. He regained the kingdom. First one tribe, Judah. He became king over one tribe as a result of sending an offering to the elders of Judah. So only givers, really, only givers see recovery. You see, David, you know, had been giving all of his life, and we see that in his life as you read the word. But now he begins to send an offering to people that had forgotten him. You know, this was not given. Please hear this. These offerings were not given to the Lord. They were given to the elders of Judah. They were given to even people who were friends of David. He said, behold, a present for you, of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. That gift woke him up and said, you know what? We need David back. Saul is dead. Let David become our king. God gave him the kingdom because of his giving heart. And he had been a giver, like I said, all his life. And you see later how much he gave to the Lord's work for the building of the temple and so on. Every time he would have a battle and receive, you know, gold and silver and this and that, it says he put it in the treasury of the Lord. Only givers recover. I have faith today in my heart, even right now. Believe in God that you will recover. All. Not just some. Not even half, not even two-thirds. All. You will recover everything. I pray the Lord will birth within you praise. I pray the Lord will birth within you prayer. I pray the Lord will birth within you brand new faith. I pray the Lord will give you mighty authority, that you will exercise your authority. And I pray you, the giver, will see recovery. If you're not a giver, become a giver. Because only givers can be blessed. There's no other way, biblically speaking. Giving, you know, declares our righteousness. Psalm 112 talks about that. And Paul repeats it in 2 Corinthians. So it's very important that we become givers to the kingdom of God. And giving releases, I think, the power of God for so much in our life. Are you ready to pray with me? I really am feeling it. I'm sensing it. It's really a better word. Can we just agree right now, you and I, that your time of favor has come? That your time of recovery has come? I was also reading in the Psalms, you know, a few days back, about the time to favor Zion has come. And now the time to favor you has come. So on this wonderful day, let's believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that praise will literally come alive in your people, that they will be so strong, Lord, in praise, in prayer, in faith, in authority. And now, Lord, I pray for recovery, complete recovery. Lord, I sense it in my heart. It's going to happen so quickly with all of us. And Lord, you said if we agree, you'll do it. And now, Lord, I agree with everyone watching me everywhere for complete recovery, total recovery. David recovered all in the sweet, dear name, Jesus. Do it for your people, Lord. Let this be the beginning for your people in Jesus' mighty name. Some of you are going to see recovery with your health. Some of you are going to see recovery with your business. Some of you are going to see recovery in your emotional state. And I believe many of you are going to see recovery in your finances. If you do these five things, praise, pray, stand in faith, use your authority, and be a giver. It's time now also to express that in sowing a seed. Sowing a seed has nothing to do with buying anything from God. That's just foolishness to even think that. Sowing a seed expresses who I am, where my faith is, you know. Because giving declares my heart. Because where the heart is, the gift is. Faith declares who I am in God and whether I'm walking with Him or not. Sinners don't give. The wicked don't give to the Lord, to His work. Only His children do. Now, Lord, as they give in the name of Jesus, let recovery financially also begin in Jesus' name. I want you to lift your hands and say, I'm recovering all. Seriously, right? And I just say, I am recovering all. In the sweet, mighty name of Jesus, I am going to recover everything for God's glory. Amen. All right, that's all I have to say for you and to you today. But go ahead and sow your seed right now. Right there on the platform you're watching me on, Benny Hinn Ministries. You can sow right there on the platform you're watching me on, Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, right there. Or any other platform. Or go to BennyHinn.org, our website. Or simply text BHM45777. BHM45777. And watch what God will do with you. It's going to be something. But remember, when you do what I just showed you, all those five keys, you're going to see recovery in all areas of your life. I'm expecting it for me, and I believe it's coming for you. Love you much. I'll see you Monday for a great week next week. Bye-bye.